Rye Guys up next.
OMG, so like, you guys, I saw that one chick, Rochelle Heeger, perform at Anime Expo last year, and she was like so cool. She was just like me. Anyway, so I decided to write a fanfic about her, because like, I just want to be her so bad. So yeah, this is my story. Rochelle Heeger couldn't be more excited. Today was her first day at Voice Hollywood Private School, and there were so many people to meet. Since it was a boarding school, because all private schools are, duh, and she needed to move in, she first headed to her dorm room, but first she ran into somebody, dropping her things, and he dropped his things, too. "Ow," he said. "That was my torso, you dick." Rochelle tried to pick up everything and exclaimed, "I'm so sorry, I guess I just wasn't looking where I was going." "That's okay, I'm too cool to have a direction in life," said the boy, who was very handsome and had a dreamy, seductive nerd voice. He was wearing a Ninja Turtles shirt and in Digimon sneakers. Rochelle tried so hard to prevent herself from fainting from his beauty right there in the hall.
"Hey, what's your name?"
she said, but he had already disappeared because he was mysterious and cool like that.
"That's Rye Guy,"
said some chick with brown hair and was skinny like a model.
"He's like a major catch. All the girls in school want to cupcake him."
"OMG, me too," said Rochelle. "But I have a dark and sad past, because I was with this guy who was like prom king here one year before I came here, but he ended up being a total jerk and he made me want to cry."
"Oh man, I totally know what you mean. I dated the principal here once."
"Oh, how did that go?"
"Shut the cupcake up! That's not any of your beeswax!"
There was fear in her eyes.
"I'm Faded Phantom, by the way, and some of us are gonna ride ponies after school. Wanna come?"
"Cupcake, yes I do! I cupcaking love ponies, OMG!"
Anyway, so they hung out for a while, and Rochelle Heeger got all her clothes and microphones moved into her dorm, and then her new dorm mate arrived. He was doing a lot of odd things, like dancing and doing the splits a bunch and stuff, and like, no one knew why. Then he jumped up and shook his dark mane of hair. The sweat that had built up from his dancing sprayed everyone, but that was okay, because he was so handsome.
"Ladies and gentlemen, I am here. Your ponies can wait. Tonight, we are gonna do it Animaniac style!"
That made Faded feel awkward.
"What is Animaniac style do what?"
"We're gonna watch Animaniacs, noob. But we're gonna turn the sound down and I'm gonna do all the voices."
Rochelle began to jump up and down, her ample bosoms doing a dance of their own.
"That sounds super fun! What's your name?"
"Apatheria. Maybe you've heard of me."
He said this because, like, okay, so around town, Apatheria was really popular and stuff, so, like, most people already knew who he was. But since Rochelle was new, she didn't. Okay, so back to the story.
"No, I haven't,"
said Rochelle. Apatheria scoffed.
"Well, that's just... wow, really?"
Rochelle was about to answer, but another boy stepped onto the scene.
"Hi, I'm Heaven Incarnate, and I'm going to cupcake your world," he said after setting his stuff down on his bead.
"OMG, what?"
said Rochelle Heeger.
"Hey guys, I'm Russ," said the next guy who came in.
He was very Jewish, and Rochelle Heeger didn't know what to do because she had never met a Jewish person before. Even though she really had, but she didn't know. But her doctor was Jewish. She just didn't know that. Okay. Rochelle curtsied. Well, she tried to, but then she fell down onto Faded's pillow. But then she got up again and laughed.
"Hey, remember when I fell down a minute ago?"
Russ just looked at her stoically.
"Hey you, pill over! Ha!"
Rochelle and Faded looked at him confused.
"It's like pullover, but with a pillow," Apatheria said, laughing.
Rochelle still looked confused.
"I, like, don't get it,"
Faded said.
"Yeah, and I'm the Pot,"
said the Pot after he came in, too. Everyone knew who the Pot was, that Swedish guy or something who always wore dark gotcha clothes, or that's what everyone thought anyway, because all his voice acting stuff was creepy. He had been standing there waiting for someone to notice him, but no one did, so that was why he just introduced himself like that.
"What is going on? I'm a girl! Why am I dorming with a bunch of guys?"
Rochelle Heeger screamed in agony.
"What? You're a girl?" said Russ.
"I thought you were a guy after I heard you do Splish Splash, but I guess I was wrong," said Heaven Incarnate.
Then the worst thing that had ever happened to Rochelle's life happened in the happenstance of a happening.
"Hey, roomies, how's it going?"
said the guy from earlier, Rye Guy or whatever. Suddenly, a new boy...
I'm a girl. There must be some mix-up. Someone get me someone that is in charge!
Just then, Tregatree ran into the room. She was a girl, but had been living amongst the guys all of this time. No one could tell the difference, because she was sort of boyish. They just thought she was some sort of 10-year-old boy genius. Russ gave her the once-over.
Aren't you the boy that shits his pants?
Tregatree held her head down with shame, not knowing what to say or do. Only tears filled her eyes.
Yeah, poop pants!
Came a new voice. This one was Blackjack AV. He had just walked in time to make fun of Tregatree.
Why don't you go poop in your pants again, poop pants?
Who pooped their pants?
Said Bree, another new person who had come running in and around the room. She was hyper because she had a lot of sugar.
Who did it?
Tregatree could take no more and ran from the room in tears, bumping into a small Asian girl on the way. The Asian tumbled across the room into a ninja roll and then stood up.
I like raw hot dogs, she said.
Not now,
Tregatree said, running back to the girls' dorm. Rochelle chased after Tregatree, hoping that Tregatree might be a new friend, but Tregatree was gone at this time. She just turned to the rest of the group and sighed.
Hello.
Faded pranced over to Rochelle. She didn't walk like a normal person. She thought she was a pony because she watched too many My Little Pony episodes.
It's okay, I'm your friend, and friendship is magic! Giggle at the ghosties, and we will go do the winter wrap-up!
Is that like... a cake?
Rochelle asked.
This girl is really stupid,
Heaven said dryly.
Stop it!
Faded said.
We all have done stupid things! Remember when I dated the principal? That was stupid! Heaven, remember when you had that crush on the Asian boy that got expelled last week for not being capable of doing more than one voice? That was stupid!
It's true. I have it all here. In the archives.
Russ said with a wise-sounding inflection, sort of like Dumbledore from Harry Potter. Clip-clop, clip-clop. Faded walked over to Russ. She had bought tap shoes so that when she walked, it sounded like hooves.
Archives?
Hey, guys, I am Beast Boy! Bryson suddenly said. I am Beast Boy!
Rochelle grabbed Faded by the arm, and the two of them began to run from this terrible place, Faded's shoes clip-clopping at an accelerated pace.
I can't run very far. I am getting worn out,
Rochelle began to wheeze. But then suddenly Faded began to fly through the air like a pony.
We are going to Equestria!
She lifted Rochelle off of the ground, and together they flew off into the sky. Whew, so many characters to keep track of. But next chapter we will have two less than now, so who is going to be eliminated from this story? You have to stay tuned.
That was Ryguy.
That was.
This was really funny. Your author's note was funny. Who doesn't want to be Rochelle Yeller, Scarlet?
I don't know. I want to be Rochelle Yeller.
I think in a way this might have been a trap of your own doing, because while I really enjoyed listening to it and I thought it was hilarious, I do think that you went overboard on the voices and kind of didn't stick to the reading it like a straight audio book.
I kind of felt the same way, actually. It was hilarious and the impressions were great.
Your apotheria was like, and your rest were like spot on.
I know. When I heard Russ, I was like, whoa. And I wrote down, I was like, sounds like Russ.
What did you think about it?
I thought it was really, really entertaining, but there were points where I was just like, okay, every single character has some ridiculous voice, you know?
Yeah.
And which is, it's funny, but like, you just kind of like, lose the seriousness.
I loved it. I loved listening to it as a listener, but again, the challenge of acting is doing all the different types of challenges, and so this one was, I was very careful to make sure that don't go overboard. I said in the email, and I kind of think you went a little overboard on this, but I really enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah, it was super entertaining otherwise.
I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to say about it?
Not really.
I really did enjoy it, though. It was very entertaining. It'll probably be like one of the highlights of the season for me. If I don't sound as enthusiastic, it's just because I feel like really sick right now.
Well,
but I really enjoyed it. We'll see what happens at the end of the night. Should we move on to Russ?
Yeah, I guess so.
Russ is doing one you picked out. It's a Narnia fan fiction.
Oh.
I'm excited. How about you?
I'm pretty excited.
All right, let's listen.
Edmund, when the temptation first comes upon him, Edmund's mist takes the form of his worst fear, of his greatest enemy, the one who just won't leave him no matter how many lives he's lived or died. Edmund! He sees Jadis, and his heart seizes as it always does, freezes and threatens to break as the king inside him screams for release, and the tiny, insolent child he used to be cowers.
Edmund!
He has beaten her once before. More so of counting the innumerable battles he's fought within his own mind and heart over 27 years. And he can't face the fact that she might be back for him yet.
Edmund!
He draws his sword, stands before her as he did on that Beruna battlefield exactly 17 years ago, and...
Edmund!
Unlike the other, this voice is real, is tangible, and belongs to someone he loves dearly. And he is pulled from his nightmare fully. Gasping loudly, he whips around and breathes anew when he sees it is his beloved sister. Lucy! Wiping the thick sheen of sweat from his brow, he sheathes his weapon. Caspian, sleeping feather lightly even before the commotion, turns over to look their way. Normally, it would be a comforting gesture somehow, knowing the young king to be as unable to sleep as they, if not for the fact that these nightmares were of their darkest crevices, and not something easily fought off. Both boys turn their attention to their female guest, growing concerned when they see that, even without candlelight, her eyes are glowing brightly with inner turmoil.
I can't sleep, Lucy stutters, though it seems a silly thing to say now that the others are confronted with the same problem.
Never mind that it is nearly pitch black in their cabin. The just king can see it well when her cheeks color and eyes plead. The blonde king's eyes meet, and a silent agreement is made. Caspian settles down once more, while Edmund devotes himself entirely to comforting Lucy. Scooting over in the tiny hammock, he pulls back his blankets. "Come here, Lou," he coaxes, his adoration showing through his not-altogether-convincing smile. "There's enough room for us both." Smiling, though the small sunbeam offered is admittedly a fraction of the usual ray of sunshine, the valiant queen crawls in beside him, relishing in his warmth as he enfolds her in the covers. Wrapping his arms around her, she burrows into his chest and grins. At least for a moment they can take comfort in each other. But after a while, the silence in the cabin becomes deafening, and both wish for something, anything, to break it, if only for the sake of keeping the mist and the nightmares away. Lucy begins, quiet and voice shaky.
I was tempted too, Edmund.
Her brother tightens his grip on her. He'd suspected, but to know that horrid temptation had touched his innocent sister.
What happened, Lou?
He questions softly. And her voice croaks a few times before she can answer properly.
"Well, there was a vision of us,"
she manages, her voice becoming tearier as the seconds pass by.
"The four of us were kings and queens again. We were so happy, just like we used to be."
She laughs lightly. This has been the siblings' most cherished dream since that long-ago day during the White Stag Hunt.
"And then," she sniffles, "it vanished. A voice whispered it could all be made real if I abandoned all we'd come to know since our time ruling Narnia."
Her voice breaks.
"And I was so close to taking it."
Her shoulders shudder with suppressed sobs, and Edmund holds her tighter while rubbing her back. "It's all right, Lucy," he soothes, tears clouding his own eyes. "It's okay." She sobs into his chest for a good few minutes, before pulling back and wiping her eyes on her sleeve.
"Sorry,"
she apologizes. But Edmund, for his part, merely tucks a stray blonde lock behind her ear and smiles encouragingly. What happened next? The valiant queen does not feel worthy of her title in this next moment. Looking away, she bites her lip.
"Aslan came,"
she reveals, and the boy's eyes widen. "Really? What did he say?" he prompts, though he is sorry for it when his sister's face takes on a contortion of pain.
"He said, though, there was nothing wrong with wishing to be back when everything was beautiful."
A minuscule, momentary smile flits across both faces. Truly, their reign was the most glorious part of their lives.
"He asked if, by doing so, I doubted him or his father's plans for us."
Her voice softens in finding difficulty.
"I was shocked, of course. I mean..."
She speaks more to herself this time.
"Who wouldn't be?"
Her brother very gently touches her hand, which reminds her to continue.
I told him I didn't, and he believed me. But he also said that we must trust him in all things, if our destinies are to play out the way they are meant. Then he was gone, quickly as he came.
She breathes deeply and clutches his hand, silent for a few moments before fixing the 12-year-old with a hesitant, almost, more than likely, knowing stare. She whispers,
"What was yours?"
Her brother's eyes darken and face pales, and he is so reminiscent of his old pre-Narnian self that Lucy wordlessly lunges forward to wrap him in a tight hug. "She came again," he admits softly, tracing well-loved symbols of their reign on her back to distract himself from delving into his memories completely. "Looked and tempted me the same way as she did back then." He sighs in relief and kisses her temple in relieved thanks. "It was just when you came that she disappeared." Lucy nods, understanding on a very deep level just what horrors she saved her brother from.
"Ed,"
she starts tentatively, shifting a bit so they are more on their backs and she is leaning against her brother's chest.
"Do you think Peter and Sue are doing all right? I mean, does this evil affect every subject or monarch of Narnia? Whether or not they're here with us, are they suffering too?"
Edmund gulps, unsure of how to answer his sister. He's never thought about this new threat from that perspective before. "I'm not sure, Lou," he replies, "but I think we'd feel it, like we did whenever something happened during our reign." His words were true. If some catastrophe ever befell any of the Golden Four, the secure siblings would instantly feel ill as their hearts clenched painfully. Despite the discomfort it caused, it had saved one or more lives many times over.
"Does that mean we're worrying them?"
she asks, becoming upset as sudden thoughts enter her mind.
"Oh, but Peter needs to concentrate on his exams. And Susan's got that party with that naval officer."
Edmund reinforces his hold on his sister's waist and strokes her hair soothingly. "Don't think on it, Lou. They know us. We can handle ourselves." He smirks. "Besides, nothing about Aunt Alberta and Uncle Harold's house is even remotely threatening, lest you count those bugs Eustace has or our aunt and uncle's determination to pretend we don't exist." Lucy giggles slightly, but quickly sobers and rubs circles in the back of her brother's hand.
"These nightmares are horrible, Edmund,"
she whispers, voice distracted, as she tries not to think of the things she and her brother and probably their friend have seen this night.
"I just hope we can put a stop to this evil Koryakin told us about."
She quirks a wry smile.
"At least so we can sleep without fear again."
"Forgive me, your majesties," a new, tentative voice interjects, and the siblings turn to see a bashful king of Narnia ducking his blonde head in embarrassment. "But I couldn't help overhearing." Lucy and Edmund lock eyes, conducting a silent conversation, and small smiles come onto their faces. Shifting positions so that they are facing him fully, Lucy rests her chin on Edmund's shoulder. "Nonsense, Caspian," Edmund returns, slipping into his old tongue, easy as ever with the young man's soothing bright presence. "What say you on behalf of our current dilemma?" The boy king goes quiet suddenly, sighing heavily before reaching up to rub his tired eyes. "I fear tonight may not be ours for obtaining the rest we require," he confesses wearily, laughing without mirth. As he wipes his eyes and forehead with his shirt sleeve, he indirectly lets on to the extent to which his own night terrors have shaken him. As for Edmund, seeing his friend like this brings an unrealized memory to the forefront of his mind. During his temptation, a youthful male voice kept infiltrating in the background, calling out for his father. In unison, Lucy and Edmund hum evenly. The poor boy has never known his father, idolizes him, paints pictures of him by way of what he's been told and what he's read in family or individual portraits he's spent hours studying. He misses him, loves him, and prays he's doing the right thing as the rightful King Caspian of Narnia, 10th of that name. All at once, the siblings' hammock sways as Lucy sits up and plants her feet firmly on the floor before standing. "Lou?" Edmund questions curiously, but the girl merely shakes her head and moves to Caspian's side in a few graceful, direct strides. Taking the older boy's larger, stronger hand, she beams reassuringly and reaches out to caress his cheek.
"You're a wonderful king of Narnia, Caspian,"
she encourages, nodding twice in succession, her and Susan's consent, and laughing lightly as she turns to Edmund to have him do the same, his and Peter's.
"There is no one better to rule our beloved country. If all of our successors might be as glorious as you have been and will continue to be, neither we kings and queens of old, nor your father,"
she leans forward to kiss his forehead,
"could ask for more."
The blonde monarch, tears in his eyes, kisses her hand 4 times. "Thank you, my friends," he whispers, voice choked. "Your praises are well received indeed." He chuckles faintly, more happy tears leaking from his eyes. Shining smiles are seen all around, and all preoccupation with mist and temptation seems to have deserted. Abruptly, Lucy yawns and rushes to cover her mouth with her hand as her cheeks turn scarlet. "Excuse me," she mends, and her boys grin. "We should try to get some sleep, shouldn't we?" Edmund acknowledges, and his two companions nod tiredly. "But," the 10-year-old begins, biting her lip nervously when the boys glance her way. "It's just..." Laying her hand on her shoulder, Edmunds inquires, worried. "What is it, Lou?" "I'm too afraid to sleep on my own," she admits quietly. Seeing their odd looks, she rushes to add, "I know Gail's there too, and we're getting along famously." She grins at the thought of the child who looks up to her so. Rince and his wife are raising her well. "But in light of what's happened tonight with us all..." The hand belonging to her brother squeezes soothingly, as does the one belonging to Caspian, and Lucy's smile grows in the glow of two of the boys she loves. "I agree, Lou," Edmund concurs, catching both her and Caspian's eyes. Suddenly, a mischievous grin crosses his features. "Lucy, remember when we used to have nightmares in our time? What we used to do?" Her face breaks into a beam, and she claps her hands. "Of course I do, Ed! That's perfect!" As for poor Caspian, the 16-year-old was thrown for a loop. "Pardon your majesties both, but whatever do you mean?" The just king and valiant queen share a twinkling glance, and Caspian suddenly feels uneasy, as though he's just signed himself off to something he'll regret. Edmund rises from his hammock and spreads his blanket between the two hammocks, Lucy doing the same with hers afterward, and then proceed to conjure three makeshift pillows from extra shirts. Turning to Caspian, they hold out their hands as Lucy says, "Sleeping in numbers helps." The corners of Edmund's mouth tremble for a fraction of a second as he grins and adds for good measure, "Believe us." And the young boy king cannot say he doesn't. Taking their hands, they pull him up and lay themselves down, Edmund on the far right, Lucy in the middle, and Caspian on the far left, covering themselves with Caspian's blanket. Wrapping his arms around his sister's waist, Edmund pulls her close to him. Holding out a hand for Caspian to take, the boy eyes it carefully. Lucy, he stutters, never quite finishing as Lucy reaches forward, takes his wrist for herself, and drags him toward her. Wrapping him in a tight hug, the valiant queen kisses his forehead once more.
"No fear, my king. Nightmares are few and far between when united."
She beams.
"We learned this early on in our reign, and it's always helped us when we feel we can't go on without another."
She squeezes his hand tenderly.
"Sleep, King of Narnia. All will be well soon enough."
The blonde trusts her with all of his heart, and her brother and those siblings not present too, and it is for this reason that he settles down almost instantly and closes his eyes. He falls into a deep, much-needed sleep less than a second later. Following his example, Edmund bids his sister goodnight with a kiss on the cheek and a strong hug. It can't be more than an instant before the just king is off as well. Lucy, the last to fall asleep, finds herself wishing for nothing more than what she has now. She's in Narnia again, with Edmund and Caspian at her side, and even though Eustace is more than a little troublesome, and she admits to missing her elder siblings terribly, she's happier than she's been in over a year, since the last time she and her siblings came to Narnia. Resting her head against Edmund's chest, with her brother's arms around her waist and her friend's hand in hers, she lets herself fall into sleep. No more mist or temptation tonight. No more nightmares.
That was Russ with the Narnia fanfic that you picked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to start?
Okay.
Okay.
One nitpick that I have is that I found that just as you were narrating, you kind of were acting a little too much rather than narrating. At one point, like, you had the exact same amount of energy and voice as this, like, as the character. So, like, the narrated end, or, like, their narration had ended, but you carried everything onto the character. And to me, I don't know, like, I didn't find that as enjoyable from an audiobook. I thought maybe it just would have been a little bit better if you had just toned down the narration to be more of a narration and, like, characters to keep character, you know?
Yeah.
Go, Dylan.
I noticed there's a click at 52 seconds, which is unlike you, Russ. And then There are a lot of things in this that aren't like you. Like, at like 10:48 or so, there was a part that was like, I agree, Lou, Edmund concurred, catching. And then you kind of, it's like you kind of got lost and took a split second to figure out where you were. Like, you kind of stumbled a little bit. And again, that's not like you. And a lot of the reading was very rushed, and sometimes it didn't feel like you were paying attention to what you were reading, and that it sounded like there were times when just the inflection was like off, like you weren't really paying that much attention. And then the other thing that I was iffy on, like, you did a voice for Lucy that was like, it was kind of ridiculous. And Like at one point you were talking as Lucy, and the line was like something like Lucy had trouble getting out what she wanted to say, and then she had a line after that. When you read her line, you didn't read it like Lucy was having trouble getting out what she was trying to say. And I just feel like this was very rushed, and there wasn't a lot of care taken, and that's unlike you. So I don't know if you were just having an off week. And to be honest, I thought your Lucy voice was just as ridiculous as Ryguy's voices, but Ryguy's narration was a lot stronger when he was actually narrating and not being crazy and hyper. But, like, I don't know. I didn't care for this one, which I'm just surprised that it, because I expect you to probably be, like, one of the front runners in, for this particular challenge. And it wasn't bad by any means, but, like,
It wasn't really mind-blowing necessarily, I guess.
Yeah, and like you were just reading so fast, and like as a listener of an audiobook, I don't think I could sit through an entire book of it being read in this way, because it was very hectic and kind of confusing sounding.
But good job.
Well, you know, I mean, you have a good voice for narration. Mm-hmm. And you when you were, yeah, like there were some good things about it too. I'm not trying to just bash it. I guess I'm just trying to get out everything that I had an issue with now so that we can move on. Just because it's so long. Well, like, I mean, overall, like, I didn't hate it. It was just,
It was good, but we thought, you know, like, you could do much, much better.
I don't think it was good, but I didn't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Bogus Bryson, I don't know what that was. But Bogus Bryson is up next with a fanfic that Scarlett picked out about Percy Jackson. I have no idea what or who that is. That's probably some Nicktoons show or something, knowing Scarlett. But Bogus Bryson is up next, so we're going to listen to that.